because it's I believe every song has its own essence in the same kind of way.
Okay? A song has a personality somehow.
Yes. They want to be written. Yeah. I'm not the one writing.
You're possessed by the spirit of music, right?
Yes. I have the music inside.
Yeah, that's good. Anyway, welcome to another episode of The Corner, L'Angolo di Gabe. Today we have a guest from Italy, but we're speaking in English because this is an English podcast for the most. So my buddy here, Samuele Matta in art, Sam Nuvolari, Italian artist, was lead singer of a band called The 30 Miles, which I've been the manager of for about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Then I couldn't do it because I wasn't good at that. So they decided to go a different direction, and they did very well because like they recorded two albums. They had a couple of international tours, and they, for a punk hardcore band, they've been pretty successful. A punk hardcore band in Italy, in Europe, which is not a genre very popular in Europe, they did very well. And now Sam is working on his solo album. Hi, Sam. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Gabri. Thank you for having me in your podcast.
No worries, man. It's actually nice to see you and talk to you after a few years, because after I moved to Canada, I haven't been in touch with anybody. I mean, even with Dan, I talked to him after a few years, you know, like it's hard to keep in touch while you're far, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, me too. With Danny, it has been the same, and the kind of the same. Oh, Danny, it's the bass player, and he has been
used to be the
bass player for your band and my band too.
Yeah, my band was long time ago, more than 10 years ago. We started in 2006, and we kept up, at least I kept up to 2009, then started to work, started university, couldn't keep up anymore. But the name was initially The Stark Madness, which doesn't mean anything in English at all, but we were kids in Italy, we didn't know how to speak English properly, so...
Oh, Japanese, they do kind of the same, you know.
Yeah, true.
They twist Italian names and English names, and they come out with something, you know, that doesn't mean really anything, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense, but it's good, it sounds sense, good, you know.
Yeah, it sounded good.
Yeah, and yes, I mean, the name was The Stark Madness. Then when I left, I do remember, and we were all still friends, you know, like it was a mutual decision. They changed name to Bedtime, which made a bit more sense, but then the band didn't keep up, they didn't continue. So Danny, that was the bass player, met you, and you guys created the legendary band, the 30 Miles. The local hero, 30 Miles. And you can explain why you guys called the 30 Miles, because there is a reason that I remember very well.
Yes, there is a reason, but there are a few reasons.
Yeah.
And I met Danny at a Green Day show in Casalecchio di Reno.
Yeah, probably.
Nearby Bologna or something. Yeah. And he was wearing a t-shirt with written that he was looking for a band or a singer or guitar or something.
Yeah.
And our drummer at the time, Sammy, and went on him and he asked, just, you know, you wanna try with us something, or you want to practice with us sometimes, and just we started like this, and there wasn't 30 miles, or it was a mad effect or something.
Yeah, it was a different name, right?
Yeah, it was a different name because we were not a real band at the time, because we were a trio, but we came we came out with Damiano at some yeah. point, which was a friend of Sami, or
yeah.
I believe, and yeah, we've been a quartet for like, I don't know, almost 10 years, like 8 years of activity along three continents, like yeah. Europe, UK, and Japan. We've been nice. We've been there. And it's been a great journey.
Yeah, and I do remember now why you guys called 30 miles, because it was the distance between your home and Danny's home. Like, Danny and I used to live close to Florence, Sesto Fiorentino, you were in Empoli. And the distance between Sesto Fiorentino and Empoli was about 30 miles. So that was the name. I don't know why I do remember that, but I know that I was a big fan of yours. Do you remember? I used to follow you every concert in Empoli or Livorno.
I came along.
I loved your music. It was great, you know. Like, so, and it was nice to see. It was great to see Danny, who played with me for many years, to keep going, you know, like on a journey with a better band, a band that could actually record albums and play around Italy at the time. Then, you know, as you said, Europe and three continents. I decided to do this podcast because you started your own podcast, and that's something cool, and we'll talk about that soon. Because you, I remember you mentioned that you recorded the second album with the Canadian label, or with Canadian agency, and I live in Canada. So, I mean, like you said, that's freaking cool.
Yeah, that's the long story, but let's start from the beginning.
Yeah, start from the beginning, right.
30 miles, we've been the 30 miles because we were starting from, you know, our province, you know, Florence is like 30 miles wide or something, yeah. You know, and so we were living, like you said, nearby this 30 miles area, and so we are starting from 30 miles. Let's see where we'll be able to land to go, and it's been a great journey for that, because we've made, like, I don't know, like 20,000 miles touring or something.
Yeah.
Or even more probably, and some days even counting the days down before coming back in at home. Yeah. So and Danny, he wasn't really the guy, yeah, we're going to make an album. He's a bass player, you know, and yeah. so he was basically forced to make an album, because I remember I was listening to local bands from London, from you know, the indie scene, you know,
scene, right.
Yeah, and they were already touring around Europe, and we were not.
Yeah.
So that was a problem in my sight, and so we decided to make records and let's go to the studio. Let's try with a little EP, and Wasteland came out like in 10 months or something.
Yeah,
and it was really, really cool. Really, it was, you know. I was 18. I'm 28, so it was like it was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In
it was 10 years ago.
The next November. The next November is 10 years.
Yeah.
And the Smiles of Rage and Paranoia. It came out like a couple of years after.
And yeah. The Smiles of Rage and Paranoia was a great album.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, I liked it because it was a good mix of punk rock, punk hardcore, and some alternative rock, but not the trivial alternative rock that you listen every day bands that sound the same but are different bands, you know, like I'm not gonna even mention because I'm not here trying to shame other bands, but I like your style. I liked your style because it was kind of new in the punk rock scene, because it wasn't the classic hardcore punk, but it wasn't even the pop punk that you would listen from Blink-182 or Green Day. It was in my opinion, a mix between the beat of Paramore, but with a male voice, and the beat sometime of NoFX, Pennywise, like, you know, a mix between alternative rock and punk hardcore, melodic hardcore, yeah, right?
You got something from it, but not exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
You were talking about a lack of personality in the band.
Not your band. I'm talking about other bands, you know. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, in general, like nowadays, yeah. Pop punk and punk rock is like we had. At the times, they were called sellout bands, and
yeah,
and, you know. And it was just like trying to make some money out of it. And it was not possible because it was the worldwide internet and the social community wasn't really up at the time.
Yeah.
And maybe we suffered a bit that thing, probably.
You mean like the thing that it was hard to make a living? I mean, it was impossible to make a living from music,
it always have been hard to make a living from art and music since the beginning of art and music.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
So. The really difference was that you were supposed to get out of your house, print the flyers and go out to give flyers to people and talk with people and stuff, you know.
Old school marketing, the classic
way. And nowadays it's completely different. You got the same budget. You do your flyer with Photoshop, or your agent or your booking agencies does this stuff, and you got just the budget to promote online the gigs, the records, and everything, mm-hmm. and it goes through medias. I mean, radios, TV, but it's everything is in touch online.
Yeah.
So everything is changed, and it's really good for music and for art, because if you got something really cool coming out, the internet can appreciate and can contain the art you made, and you know it's. If you do something cool, it comes out.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I would say the difficulty at the time wasn't only the internet, in sense the internet was already in place, Facebook was already in place, Instagram wasn't a thing at the time, but I don't think it was a problem in general. I think it was a problem in Italy and Europe, above all for your kind of music, for punk rock, because punk rock has never been popular in Italy, unless, you know, it was very poppy, like pop punk, like Vanilla Sky or Finley, just to make an example. But more alternative bands, like they had hardcore sounds, they were not really considered. And the other thing was like making music in English. Like, unfortunately, as Italian that speaks English, I can now say that Italians are pretty ignorant in English. Not many Italians speak English back home. And when you make music in English, it's hard to get known unless you make music also in Italian. And you guys didn't want to make music in Italian because you had a particular genre in your mind that you wanted to follow. a target, like to make punk hardcore music, and so it was hard to be followed. Then, as you said, social media were not very strong in Europe at the time, so it was very hard, was very tough to start a project. But you made it somehow, you know, like.
I don't know what it means making it or doing. I mean, punk rock is one of a genre of music that you it's just pure attitude. You cannot ask for money and try. I mean, we were trying to make experiences out of it. Yeah. So we chosen to sing in English because to write in English because it was it was making sense at the time. Nowadays you can do even music in every kind of language. Even you can even create your own language and make music. Even, you know, and
that'd be weird. But yeah.
Yes, if you were doing punk rock and you were looking for experiences, English was needed. And you know, we've been in Germany, Holland, Scotland, England, and
Czech Republic. I do remember Czech Republic. I do remember the experiences you got from Czech Republic. I wasn't with you, but you guys gave me a very detailed experience, yeah, very detailed description of the night, you know, like.
Yeah, it's all about those experiences. And we were 18, 20. When you're 20 and you go out with your band, your gang on a van, in Europe for a couple of weeks or even more, it's, you know, you gotta take care of yourself first of all. And but as you said, things happens and those nights happens and the crowd happens. Sometimes you even get
the mosh pit happens, right? The mosh pit happens.
even empty halls. I don't know. Yeah. People, I believe I'm what people say I am. So yeah.
You're an artist.
Because people say I'm an artist. So
you're an artist.
I believe I'm an author because I write things.
Yeah, so, but you're an artist as well.
I mean, I make pieces of music, which is sounds, you know, but I don't know what kind of music could be defined.
I
put my emotions in that. So if art is emotion, yes, then I'm an artist.
What was a band or a few bands that were your inspiration during the time?
I believe Nirvana, of course.
Yes.
I was listening a lot, VFX a lot. always kept The Offspring with me, of course. And but I was a real mad fan. I'm still a real mad fan of the System of a Down.
Okay.
So they played a huge role in the 30 Miles first album.
Okay, yeah, I can see that in Smiles of Rage and Paranoia, the song as the kind of breaks, pauses, and then starts strong like you can find in System of a Down songs, you know.
You're talking about 30 Miles Life. I'm the one doing everything in that. But
don't get me wrong. You were the main writer of the songs. I mean, like you and Danny for the most.
Yes,
you guys were.
Yeah, Danny has a different culture of music.
Yeah, I agree.
We were mixing the punk rock style and the pop punk style of Danny with my grungy personality and
post-hardcore
and Damiano he was a metal kid, so and And even Sammy, he was a metalhead, and he was
pop punk as well, though.
Yes, a mix of Incubus, the System of a Down, and Blink 182, Green Day, even Avril Lavigne at some point, the full plan and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like Sammy, Danny, and I were getting a lot along because, like, you know, I played with Danny for a while, and we were pop punk, Green Day, Blinkish style. And I liked the idea of 30 Miles because it was the union of two souls, like a pop punk soul with the grunge, new metal soul. It was like, and I'm not talking only about you and Danny. I'm talking about like you and Damiano were a bit more into strong music, like, or harder music, while like Sammy and Danny were more the pop punk fun guys, you know, skate punk, you know. Like, I mean, you I remember you listening to Blink 182 too, but you were they were not your favorite band, but I do remember you enjoy them, you know. Like,
they were, I remember they were one of my favorite pop punk bands.
Yes,
at some point, because they were sounding similar to the American Football, which is a band I'm really fan of, and that I believe 30 Miles has been a band. Oh, I mean, we're still there because we are still alive and some kind
thank
of
goodness.
Ways, but it's a multi personality band, because we were four people putting ourselves into the project. We were not looking for results. We were looking for doing the best thing we could do. We started with Wasteland, which was a really cheap record, a really in old sense.
The first EP.
We made a huge jump with the Smiles of Rage and Paranoia because we need to test, and we were stupid or maybe even so kind to put out everything we wanted. Mm-hmm. We were writing, so a lot of bands, they wait a lot before putting out something. They are choosy and it's completely right. They are right. Nowadays it's required, and the level is much higher.
Yes.
But I remember earlier, like now, at some kind of ways, the winning point was being yourself. So we were putting out things, stuff like the Wasteland, which was us playing in a practice in our rehearsal room, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And I mean, we were the studio actually, but it was sounding like the very first EP you do with your band.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I mean, I do remember practice with you. I mean, I wasn't practicing with you, but I do remember every Thursday night coming. You guys were meeting halfway, like in Scandici, in the deserted building with industrial lift, but there was some kind of trial, like of a rehearsal room, and it was amazing. Like I was coming. I do remember everything, like the drinks, the joints, you know, like the laughs. You know, I wasn't in a band, but like I felt like we were in. Together in a band. Also, when we went to listen to the concert of NoFX in Milan, Caro Ponte, we were like all in stuff in my car. We went a cheap ass motel in Milan for one night, in Sesto San Giovanni, in close to Milan, like four people in a shitty, stinky bedroom of a motel. That was life, man. It was like being in tour, if you remember. I remember you said that.
Yeah,
you said that was like
that was being punk in tour.
That was punk. punk rock as fuck, man. Like, I'm gonna get banned on YouTube for this, but that's, I don't care. I mean, like, it was amazing.
And we decided to go that way for the second record, which is Shark Tales for Braves, and which is a real Brave records for us, because it took a long time. It seems easy. It seems an easy record, but it's not, because it's not that fast. It's not. It's.
It even sounds pop. Different. It sounds different from the first one, definitely.
It sounds. Yeah, it sounds, because we were. I was with three different people, you know, and it's obviously it came out sounding differently. Mm-hmm. And but the real game, the real goal was building the puzzle up, which for us, like, we were already 24, 25, mm-hmm. we had a solid knowledge of ourselves and mm-hmm. our emotions. So we decided to put all together to build this giant record, because it has seven tracks, but it's, you know, it's, it takes a lot to get through, because mm-hmm. it's we have 5-6 minutes of songs completely going and into different atmospheres, into yeah. different planets, basically.
It sounds almost like a concept album, you know, like something like that. You know, I know it's not, probably wasn't conceived like that, but some atmospheres feels like it's a concept, like kind of evolution of the other. So kind of a concept album, you know, like.
It has been a kind of climax record, yeah. or something. Because we ended up with a pure hardcore band, a hardcore song.
Quickly, Ghost Factory Record, which is your label, your production and creation label, which was born between the first and the second album of 30 Miles, and after the second album. I was already in Canada, so I was following what you guys were doing, but I wasn't in direct contact with you. I did notice that you guys went on tour in Japan, which is amazing, great achievement. But after the tour in Japan is where the amazing happens. You know, like, you guys all received very, very good offers for as a solo future, not as a band anymore, right?
Right. Yeah, that was right. We've been. I remember I was kind of working between the hills, and a guy just hit me up saying, you gotta try to write to Bruno at 1000 Islands Records in Canada, because he may be interested in putting that record out. And I just gave him I sent him a quick message or something, and he was really happy to help us and spread to release the record in North America. So that was a real cool thing.
And it's a Canadian based label, right? 1000
Islands in Montreal.
Okay, great, great, great. And that was before the tour or after the tour in Japan?
That was before the tour in Japan. And yeah. then we got, yeah, that everything started from there. Then we got John Allen in London, who runs Disconnect Records, which is a really, really cool label. I already was a fan of mm-hmm. his label, because he was putting out really cool bands. Mm-hmm. And after that, other labels came knocking at the door, because the thing was growing, and we had 20 Chords Records in New Mex. They're based in New Mexico, I believe, and they did the South America release. Mm-hmm. And so at that point we were pushing to go to Japan, because we was already in touch. We were already in touch with Far Channel Records and Morito
in Japan.
Naganishi. Okay. Yeah, Morito, he gave us the really push, and he said, "Come on, guys, come here in Japan. We're going to make a Japanese tour. Please try to contact all the label, and we'll try to make a cool release." And it happened. Actually, we were we were hyped because I don't know how many Italian bands had the opportunity to go in Japan to make a tour. So that was incredible.
Awesome, right?
Yeah, the biggest thing we have ever done in our music life. So we did after that too. It was special, incredible, mm-hmm. incredible place. I loved it. I hated it for reason I'm not.
It's a different experience. It's a different experience.
Yes,
right?
yes, really different experiences for a local Italian, you know. Mm-hmm.
And let's go to the last part, because I mean, like, I noticed you're tired. It's already one a.m. and I don't wanna. Absolutely, I don't want you. I don't want to steal your sleep. You're a very busy man. But you know, you were talking about Japan, about this experience that was great. You hated it, you love it. Different, of course, different culture.
What happened
different
next? Different culture. Sam Nuvolari is my solo artist name.
Yeah,
which is the artist of myself. Okay, because I'm even, for example, when I'm having my dinner, I'm the chef of myself, you know. So while when I'm having business, I'm Samuele Matta, which is the boss of myself. And I mean, Nuvolari is a completely different person for its character. I mean, for my character, for my artistic character. And I mean, Nuvolari is just, I was a little pilot driver when I was young, because, you know, Italy got a really big motorsport culture.
Yeah, it's a classic, right? I mean,
yeah, it's a real classic. And I grown up watching my dad and playing the old Ayrton Senna races, or the old Michael Schumacher races and stuff. So I had a mini bike, a little bike under my ass, like when I was
and a go-kart, right?
Yeah, and go-karts too, but they were too dangerous, because they were really big for my age, and because my dad was driving the 125 cc, and they were really powerful,
fast,
and,
and
even no, they were not so safe. So
no, definitely not.
Yeah, my mom wasn't approving, so we had to quit doing that. So then I had my first motorcycle. I was going like the wind, and I was flying, and some, you know, the old men at the town, they were used to make jokes about people going fast in little streets, and they went like, they were used to go like, hey, Nuvolari. I'm going to read that one on the newspaper tomorrow morning because he's going to crash and I will read it on the newspaper tomorrow morning. So I remember of that thing. And then Nuvolari was the greatest driver of pilot.
He's the figure of the pilot, of the driver in Italy. Like, it might not be the greater, but he's the example. Like, the first name when you're in motorsport, the first name that you get in your brain when you think about motorsport in Italy is Nuvolari. There was even an international channel about motorsport called Nuvolari. So, I mean, yeah, I understand. So, that's your inspiration for the name, right? Because you were a little driver. And yeah, of course, it's great.
Also, it's pretty good. Yeah, I was watching. I was I liked the TV program. The Nuvolari is just me, so it's, I believe it's real normal to feel the difference between the 30 miles and Nuvolari, because, and you know, it's just, Nuvolari is just me, it's me in English. So I don't know if I'll keep on with Nuvolari for the Italian project, because I'm writing in Italian.
Oh, you're writing both English and Italian, okay.
Yeah, I'm at the moment writing in both languages.
Okay, great.
It took a lot of time actually to learn how to switch from, you know.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it's not easy, and so I'm writing this Italian record, which I don't know if will be the character have with English people. Okay, so
it could be different. Okay.
Yeah, I have different attitude with Italians, because you know, it's a different culture, so. It could be a different me. I don't know, because I'll discover it once I get in the studio.
It's still a work in progress, right?
Yes. It's all lifelong, a work in progress. I decided to write my own, just a solo EP. I was scared about it because, you know, I've never did anything in solo. I've always been playing in punk rock bands, hardcore bands, and it was a difficult mindset. You need to switch from being a team player, and you gotta be a solo spotman player, and which is completely different. Which is, I mean, that's why I'm Nuvolari. I like to think with sportman attitudes, thinking. And, you know, the real thing was I went to a friend who was producing records in Emilia Romagna, and he just tried to take something from what I was writing at the moment, and I did Water Wars, which is a cool EP, I decided to sign for an independent label from Milan, which is run by an old man called Guido, which is a master of, you know, he received a career prize from during Sanremo Festival back like 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
And that label won Sanremo, actually. And I was really proud to sign for them, because it was the biggest Italian brand and record label I've ever signed with, because the first 30 Miles album came out for This Is Core, which was Wynonna Records. But at the time, they had not a real huge story and Top Record still does, and they are still on it. And so I ended up with them signing for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And but for the English, for the Samuel Larry English project, for the Italian release. And at the same time, I went in touch with Renato D'Amico, which is a friend of mine, first of all, I have to say. And he asked me if I ever thought of about doing an Italian record, and I said, well, it's nothing I've ever done, so let's try it. And
And so you said you signed for 3 years. So right now you're in the process of writing, creating the album. And then when will you be posting? You know, when will you release the album or the music? You know,
I have enough. I mean, I cannot say things that are not signed. But I'm trying to put an exclusive debut album in Japan for Go With Me Records and Sega, you know, the guys.
Yeah, the video game?
Yeah, the video game company.
Yeah.
They have an audio section named Bullion Records, but it's now named Go With Me Records.
Okay.
Which has a pop section called Pop With Me Records.
Which is a pop section.
And do an exclusive thing because I didn't find a deal with Top Records in Milan, so I decided to make to take a gamble with Japan doing an exclusive physical thing. So it's nothing that goes on the internet. It will be only on real stores.
So CD.
Yeah, only CDs.
Okay.
And I believe it will contain the entire Waterwall EP, New Volare EP, and another three new songs. I believe three new songs.
So you're still writing, right?
Yeah, I'm still writing. I actually finished those three songs. They're ready. We are mastering this because I will put those songs out on my own.
Ghost Factor Record, yeah.
Yes, we as brand, as label, we've signed an exclusive deal with Pyramus International for the distribution, the musical distribution of the entire catalog for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so they did Marilyn Manson, The Prodigy, and big artists.
Nice.
And yes, they've been an American, a US company for a long time, and then they moved to Europe, and they are now based in Milan.
Okay.
So that was a good
good opportunity.
Yeah, really cool opportunity. Even to grow, because I'm still learning as publisher, because I'm also a publisher, music publisher, and they're doing formation actually. So, which is, you know, old publishers, some of them don't have the knowledge to handle the digital editorial stuff and the digital publishing. Mm-hmm. So they're doing formation for everyone to make sure everyone is at the same level.
Of course.
Everyone gets same opportunities.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so that those are the next three songs coming out, but I am doing featuring with a young boy from Livorno named Alto, which in English is high.
Or tall.
Tall. It's tall. Yeah.
High or tall? Yeah. Of course.
No. But he's tall, but he's also high.
Of course. Makes sense.
He's a lo-fi beat maker, and he already did like. He did a couple of EPs or even three for a US label named Autumn Theory Records, and he achieved something like 200,000 plays on Apple. Okay, so that's a big number. Yeah, that's a big number.
For a new
beat maker, it's cool thing. Yeah.
Anyway, I am at the end of this podcast because this is a very long podcast, which is very interesting because as the first time that I already had an episode about music, but this is the first time I actually get to go into the philosophy and, you know, deep into music. I mean, like I had a great episode a few episodes ago with Craig Smith, who is a local folk singer and author here in Collingwood, Ontario, Canada, where I live. Great guy. He's also an artistic director. I should actually put you in touch with him because he's fan of every music genre, music type. So, I mean, like, you guys would have a nice conversation, maybe a nice collaboration. Who knows? Like, I will put you in touch, guys.
Thank you.
So, this was Sam Nuvolari. Sam Nuvolari can be found on YouTube, a Ghost Factory Record channel, which you can find on a link.
No, that's not right.
Oh, no, that's not right. So tell me, where can we find Sam Nuvolari?
Yeah, you can find Sam Nuvolari via Top Records and and Ghost Factory too, but that's another thing. And on Spotify, on Apple Music, and everywhere on the web. But, you know, I saw you were very very curious about 30 miles, so I decided to make focus on that thing, and we will speak about
of course,
another time when it's not 1 a.m. Okay, Ghost Factory Records is a giant project, okay? It's like SpaceX for Elon Musk, okay? It's the same thing for me, okay, in a smaller scale. But, you know, I would like to talk about it another time.
In a separate episode, of course.
It's a real world itself.
Let's plan another episode about Ghost Factory Record, okay?
Yeah, that's Sam Nuvolari. Next time you'll have an interview with Samuel Amata, I promise.
Okay, today was Sam Nuvolari, ex-guitarist and lead singer of 30 Miles. He has an upcoming album as a solo album, Sam Nuvolari. You can find Sam Nuvolari, as he said, at Top Records. And do you have a Facebook page or an Instagram page or only through to...
Of course, you can look for me and like Sam Nuvolari on IG, FB, and you know everyone.
And do you have a YouTube channel as a Sam Nuvolari or not yet?
No, I don't have the permission to open a YouTube channel.
Okay, I get it. Okay, this was another episode of The Corner L'Angolo di Gabe. I already had so many episodes that I forgot which number. I think it's episode 8. I'm pretty sure it's episode 8. But if you guys like this and you like music, please hit like and subscribe. You can find me on YouTube or you can find me on Apple, Google Podcast or Spotify. I stream through anchor.fm. That's my main platform. And here, Sam has also a podcast on Anchor.fm, which, can you tell us what's the title of the podcast, Sam?
Is La Nuova Musica degli Anni Venti, which is produced by Ghost Factory Records, which we'll be talking about next episode.
Next time, yeah.
Next time.
All right. Thank you guys for being here. Please look for Sam. Look for me on these platforms, and have a great night, guys. Bye, Sam.
Bye. Thank you, Gab. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure for sure. Thank you.